Praise God. How many glad to be in the house of the Lord tonight? You know, in yesteryear, not so much do you hear it anymore today, but yesteryear, when after I first became a Christian, you know, a lot of times when you were in the church and the house of God and people came to testify, or even when people greeted you, people would greet you and they'd have a common saying so often, they'd say, I'd like to thank the Lord, I'm saved, I'm sanctified, and I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. Saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. Tonight, we want to highlight that middle portion, that word sanctified. Sanctification is what we want to talk about tonight. Sanctification is what we want to speak with you about tonight. You have your Bible. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. And we have a short amount of time, and we have a lot of scripture. So we're going to turn fast. We're going to get that fast scripture turning anointing tonight. Is that all right? How many of you believe you can get the fast scripture turning anointing tonight? Amen. We just want to give you as much information from the word as we can. We're talking about sanctification, sanctification, being sanctified. Thank God that we are sanctified. Oh, we were singing about the blood. It's the blood that has cleansed us. It's the blood that has sanctified us. We're sanctified because of that blood. We couldn't be sanctified without the blood of Jesus. But oh, thank God for that blood. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14, we'll start with this verse. Hebrews 12, 14. All these scriptures tonight, New American Standard, New American Standard. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. When we leave Hebrews 12, we're going to go to Hebrews 10, okay? Hebrews 12, verse 14. Pursue peace with all men and the sanctification without which no one will see the Lord. Now, our subject tonight must be pretty important because the Bible says without sanctification, there's not a one of us that's going to see the Lord. And I don't know about you, but I think, you know, I know I'd be pretty disappointed to have lived my life for Christ and then not be able to see him at the end. I'm looking forward to that day when I can see him face to face. I said, I wish I had a bigger amen than that. I have my uncle Ralph, he went home to 90 years old, went home to be with the Lord early Saturday morning, and guess what? He's staring at the Lord face to face now. Yeah. But sanctification, without sanctification, none of us are going to see him. And so it's pretty important. You say, what is sanctification? First of all, the origin of the word sanctification, it comes from a Latin word. The first part of it, the word sanctus, S-A-N-C-T-U-S. S-A-N-C-T-U-S, sanctus, that's a Latin word. It means holy or to consecrate or to be holy, to be made holy. Sanctus, that word, the first part of the word, sanctification, comes from a Latin word. It means holy or consecrated. The last part of that word, sanctification, that T-I-O-N, that shun part, that means the ongoing or continuing process of becoming holy. It's the T-I-O-N part is the ongoing, continuing process of becoming holy. So that word sanctification then, it implies a progressive holiness, if you will. It means to set apart, literally to set apart for a holy purpose, for a sacred purpose. It means to be set apart by God for holiness and for his sacred purpose. Amen. On the one hand, sanctification is a redemptive work, one of our redemptive realities. It's a work of the Holy Spirit that has already been completed in the born-again believer. Amen. I'm going to say that again. On the one hand, sanctification, it's a completed process. It's a work of the Holy Spirit that's already been completed in the born-again believer. That is, if you're born again tonight, if you've received Jesus as your Savior, as your Lord, how many of you here tonight, you've received Jesus as your Savior, as your Lord? Okay, well, there is an aspect of sanctification that's already been completed in you and I. It's a finished work. That is, that Christ, through the efficacy of his blood, he has finished the work of sanctification. The work of making us holy, on the one hand, he's finished that work. Thank God. And it's why we can stand in his presence totally clean. Amen. I said, because he finished that work, because he finished that aspect of our sanctification, we can stand in God's presence. We can be totally justified, totally clean, because we are sanctified through his blood. Amen. So on the one hand, there is that completed process, that completed work of the Holy Spirit in us. And on the other hand, sanctification is an ongoing work of the Holy Spirit, which is a process that will continue until the day that we either die or the day that Christ raptures us up in the air and we meet him in the air. There is an ongoing process of sanctification that the Holy Spirit is also at work completing in you and I. Amen. How many are with me so far? We're going to go to the word here in a minute and prove that. But I just want you to see, as we're talking about sanctification, we're going to talk about both sides of it. On the one side, a completed work. On the other side, an ongoing work until the day that we meet Jesus. And both are very, very important. Now, first of all, the completed work is important because we couldn't see the Lord without. If the Lord hadn't completed our sanctification, if he, through the Holy Spirit, had not already sanctified us, we could not be made acceptable to God. We could not be made acceptable to stand in God's presence. Go with me to Hebrews 10 now. Hebrews 10. Now, I'm going to start here at verse 10. Hebrews 10, verse 10. We're talking about the completed work of sanctification. Thank God for it. Thank God. I said, when Jesus said it's finished, this is one of the things that he was talking about. He finished this part. Amen. And nobody could do this but him. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 10. By this will, we have been sanctified. Now look how that's written. By this will, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Now, right there, the Bible says it's already been done. We've already been sanctified. Aren't you glad about that? I said, you ought to be giving me a louder amen. He's already completed it. We've already been sanctified. We've been sanctified. Thank God. Amen. Let's go on. Verse 11. Every priest stands daily ministering and offering time after time the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. Well, but verse 12. But he, having offered one sacrifice for sins for all time, sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time onward until his enemies be made a footstool for his feet. Verse 14, for by one offering he has perfected for all time those who are sanctified. And the Holy Spirit also testifies to us. So what it's saying is the Lord Jesus, his sacrificial death on the cross, it instantly sanctified you and I. He completed the process. He did all of the work. When he said it's finished, look, we were sanctified. He had already cleansed us, already made us to be right, already made us righteous to stand in God's presence. He sanctified us. He cleansed us. He completed the work. We don't have to struggle trying to be good enough to get there. We don't have to struggle trying to be good enough to God. Oh, God, I'm going to try to be good enough to you. I'm going to be trying. Listen, if we tried that, none of the Bible says, if you ever read Isaiah 64, all of our righteousness and our own effort is as filthy rags. None of it would be acceptable to God. It'd be like us trying to swim to Bermuda. Some of us could make it. None of us would make it. Some of us would drown right away because a lot of people can't swim. And some of us would drown halfway there. But the point is, none of us are going to make it there. We would all ultimately be shark bait or we would drown, no matter how good a swimmer we are. So man, in his own efforts, sometimes man says to God, look, I'm a good person. Look, I go to church. Look, I'm not knocking people in the head, robbing people. Look at me, God. Am I good enough? No. Why? Because you're trying to get there on your own effort. And the Bible says, all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've all missed the mark, every single one of us. So trying to get to heaven on our own efforts is never going to work. We have to have imparted to us the righteousness of Christ. And see, it's the righteousness of God in Christ that we receive. See, when his substitutionary death, he got what we had, sin and separation. But we got what he had. He had total righteousness. He had total sanctification. And through Christ, we stand today completely redeemed. Our redemptive reality is that he has sanctified you and I. We're not trying to get sanctification. He has already sanctified us. We're not trying to be acceptable in God's sight. No, the Bible says, go boldly to the throne of grace. Why should we go boldly? Because we've been cleansed. We've been sanctified. We've been made able to stand in his presence. I said, it's a completed work. I said, give me a bigger amen. He's already done the work. Look down at verse 19. You're in Hebrews 10 still. Hebrews 10, verse 19. Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence. Oh, where did that confidence come? We have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he inaugurated for us through the veil. That is his flesh. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, look at 22. Let us draw near with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. I said it's a finished work. Christ sanctified you and I. And one of our redemptive realities when we come to him, when we give our lives to him, is oh, we get the benefit of having been sanctified. We can go into the Father's presence and be granted an audience at any moment, any hour, any second of the day. And the Bible said, don't just go there. Don't just go there with a bowed down head. Go confidently. Go boldly. We have sanctification that's come from Christ. Go with me to Ephesians real quick. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Well, we're going to turn a lot of scripture tonight. Oh, man. But it's necessary. Go to Galatians, just behind Galatians, the book of Ephesians, chapter 1. Look at verse 4. Look at verse 4. We'll start at verse 3. Verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us. And listen, he chose us in him before the foundation of the world that we would be holy and blameless before him. God had already predetermined that we would be holy and blameless before. How did he do it? Through the sanctifying work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he completed that work. You and I have been sanctified by the blood. If you're born again, you've been sanctified. Thank God. Thank God for that. Said thank God for it. You're in Ephesians. Go over to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Paul, writing under the unction of the Holy Ghost to husbands and wives, says there at verse 25, husbands, love your wives. Now watch this. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church. And now he loved the church. What did Christ do? He loved the church and gave himself up for her so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word. What has Christ already done? It says right there that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word. It's a work that Christ has already done. He sanctified us. He sanctified the church. Thank God. I said, if Christ hadn't sanctified the church, none of us could stand in his presence. But he's already done it. Thank God. He sanctified the church. Praise God. Go with me over to 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians. We're talking about this aspect of sanctification. You were in Ephesians, go through Colossians, and you'll come to Thessalonians. And we're going to start first 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. We're talking about that aspect of sanctification that has already been completed. That which Christ has done in us to make us holy and acceptable in God's eyes. Thank God. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. Paul writes, but we should always give thanks to God for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God has chosen you from the beginning for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and faith in the truth. God's already done it. He's already chosen you. Aren't you glad about it? He's already equipped you, given you everything you need, sanctified you through the sacrificial death, that sacrificial blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Sanctification is a work of the Holy Spirit in us. But on this side, we're talking about God's already completed that. God's already completed that. Go back with me. 1 Corinthians now. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Starting at about verse 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 2. Somebody said, well, I'm just trying to get good enough. I'm just trying to be good enough that God maybe one day will accept me. You'll never get there. You're never going to get there. I don't care how good you are. Oh, but Jesus has already bridged the gap for you. He's already paid the price. Oh, if you'll just receive God's offer of salvation through Christ, and if you've already done that, then he's already sanctified you, already made you acceptable in his eyes. 1 Corinthians now, chapter 1, verse 2. To the church of God, which is at Corinth, to those who have been sanctified in Christ Jesus. He says, he's using the past tense, those who have been sanctified. He's telling the Corinthian believers, you've already been sanctified. Those who have been sanctified. Look down at, you're in 1 Corinthians 1. Look down at the end of that chapter, verse 30 and 31. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30 and 31. But by his doing, by in other words, his is the Father there. But by his doing, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. I said, it's already been done. Christ has already paid the price. He's already become our sanctification. If God is to ask why, what should allow you, what should cause you to have access into my heaven? Our only answer can be because I've trusted in Christ, Christ's redemption for me. I've believed and trusted his sacrificial death, the shedding of his blood. His work on the cross sanctified me. His sacrificial death, I've received Jesus and your offer of forgiveness. It's all we can say because God's already done it through him. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 11. Look at verse 11 there. 1 Corinthians 6 verse 11. Such were some of you. I should read 9. Back up. I'm sorry. We're in 1 Corinthians 6. Let me read from 9. Get the context. Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Verse 11. Such were some of you, but you were washed. Look now. You were washed. But you were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. It's already a completed work. How many are with me on that? Just a couple more. Acts 20. Go with me to Acts 20. Acts chapter 20. We're talking about the completed work. We're talking about the completed work of sanctification. Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20 now. Verse 32, Acts 20 and 32. And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all of those who are sanctified. It's already been done. Give you inheritance among all of those who are sanctified. Already been done. Look over here in Acts chapter 20. Look over in Acts chapter 26. Acts 26, if you will. Acts 26, Paul giving his testimony to King Agrippa of how he had gotten saved back there in Acts chapter 9 on that Damascus road. He's retelling his testimony here in Acts chapter 26, telling King Agrippa his testimony. And look what he says there. He says, Jesus said to him, verse 15, and I said, who are you, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom you're persecuting. But get up, stand on your feet, for this purpose I have appeared to you, to appoint you a minister and a witness, not only to the things which you have seen, but also to the things in which I will appear to you, rescuing you from the Jewish people and from the Gentiles to whom I am sending you. Now, verse 18, to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the dominion of Satan to God, and that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who have been sanctified by faith in me. Are you with me? There is an aspect of sanctification that's already completed. It's already a past tense. We should be thanking God every day and worshiping God that he has sanctified us through the blood of Jesus. Amen. All right, so let's switch gears now and let's talk about the other side of sanctification, which is that ongoing process, that ongoing work of the Holy Spirit, that he is working in you and I, and that will be completed until the day that the Lord Jesus returns. First, go with me to 1 Thessalonians again. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Last time we were in 2 Thessalonians. This time, going to 1 Thessalonians. You say, I'm wearing my Bible out. This is good for you. Be good for you. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Now, if you will, look down around verse 23, because now we're talking about that second aspect of sanctification, that ongoing work of the Holy Spirit, where he's working in us that holiness, that lifestyle, that work that the Holy Spirit's doing in you and I, that way of life that he will be working on in us until the day that Jesus returns. 1 Thessalonians 5:19 first. Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise prophetic utterances, but examine everything carefully. Hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from evil, from every form of evil. Verse 23. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he who calls you, and he will also bring it to pass. You know, he wrote there about sanctification as a prayer. May the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely. May your spirit, soul, and body, identifying the three parts of man. That is, we are a spirit. We live in a body. We have a soul. And the thing is, when you and I got born again, what got born again? Our spirit got born again. Our body didn't get born again, and our mind didn't get born again. Don't you wish our body and mind had gotten born again too? Life in this earth realm would be a breeze if our body and mind had gotten born again too. But let me tell you, your spirit got born. If you got born again, your spirit got born again, but your mind was still unrenewed, and your body was still unsaved. Said, I wish I had a bigger amen. And sometimes this dichotomy causes people lots of problem in their walk with the Lord, and it should not. It should not cause any problem, because the Lord has provided a helper for you and I. He said, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm going to send you a helper, the Holy Ghost, the paraclete, the standby, the advocate, the one called alongside to help us. I said, he'll stand with you and he'll help you. Yes, he will. But here he's talking about the spirit, soul, and body. And see, our spirit got born again. Our spirit's been completely sanctified. Our spirit was completely sanctified. But let me tell you, you and I have to do something with our mind. And you and I have to do something with our body. And if you don't do something with your mind, and if you don't do something with your body, the enemy will dominate you in this life. When Jesus has already provided victory. When Jesus has already put the enemy under our feet and provided victory. He will run roughshod over you if you don't do something with your mind and something with your body. I wish I had a bigger amen. We're living in a world that's pressing against the church, wants us to compromise in every area. But let me tell you this, we've got to be ready in our mind. We've got to be ready. Go with me to Romans chapter 12. Romans 12. Yeah, you and I, our spirit, thank God, our spirit got born again. Thank God for that. Oh, but there comes now, there's something we've got to do with our mind. Romans 12. You know where I'm going. Verse 1, therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice. Present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God. What's he saying? You got to do something with your body. We can't just let our body run willy-nilly. Come on. I said, I wish I had a bigger amen. Yeah. We're talking about sanctification tonight. Now, as we talk about this side of sanctification, I want you to be clear. We're not talking about being, the big $10 word, sanctimonious. How many know what it means to be sanctimonious? There's a big difference between being sanctimonious and being sanctified. Sanctimonious is an extremely hypocritical, false presentation of holiness. It's when somebody's trying, they look holy on the outside, but they really ain't. That's called being sanctimonious. And there's a big difference between being sanctimonious and being sanctified. I'm talking about being sanctified tonight. And so present your body a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Romans 12, verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by what? By the renewing of your mind. Let me tell you, this is something every believer has to do. You say, well, my neighbor renews his mind every day, and so I'm just hitchhiking on my neighbor. When I fellowship with my neighbor, they talk about what, you know, they renew their mind, and I'm just, you ain't going to be able, you can't hitchhike on your neighbor with that. Every one of us has to take the time to renew our mind. And I tell you one problem right away, is that life is so busy. And there's always places to go and people to see and stuff to do. And if we're not careful, we let ourselves get so busy, that we stop taking the time to renew our mind. And in any area where we stop renewing our mind, the enemy will begin to dominate us. I deserve a bigger amen than that. I did a better job saying that point than y'all did saying amen. In any area where we stop renewing our mind, or we stop putting boundaries up for our body. So I wish I had a bigger amen. It's easy to talk to you like this tonight, but put a piece of cake in front of me. I don't want to talk about sanctification no more. No, listen, we all have to renew our mind. We all have to control our body. There's no other way. Go to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Oh, man. I came loaded for bear. Oh, man. Go past Hebrews. Go past James. 1 Peter chapter 1. Let's take a quick stop at verse 2, but we're really going to verse 13. We'll stop the bus at verse 2, but we're really going to verse 13. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, by the sanctifying work of the Spirit. Sanctification in you and I, it's a work of the Holy Spirit. It's why we have to listen to the Holy Spirit. It's why we have to be led by the Holy Spirit. It's why God's not asking us to get involved in legalism. It leads us in a ditch every single time. If I try to govern your affairs, then legalism will result, and one or both of us will wind up being sanctimonious, and we'll wind up in a ditch. But the Holy Ghost, he's at work in you and I. He's at work. He's doing something in you, or he's trying to. And he's trying to develop this other side of sanctification that we're talking about. There's one side, thank God, and our spirit's already been completed. But there's another side. There's another side that has to do with our mind and our body, and the Holy Ghost is at work. Amen. And the real question is, are we compromising, or are we cooperating with him? Verse 13, 1 Peter 1, 13. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. What action? Oh, there's a battle going on. That's why we have to renew our mind. He said, prepare your minds for action. Prepare your mind for a battle. You said, man, I've been battling stuff. I've been going through stuff. You should not be shocked. There's a battle going on in your mind. Why does that surprise you? We live in a fallen world. I wish I had a bigger amen. Prepare your minds for action. Keep sober in the spirit. One version says, gird up the loins of your mind. Don't just let your mind flap around being exposed to anything. Strengthen that and put some parameters in place. Don't just let your mind be exposed to anything. There's a work of the Holy Spirit that he is trying to do in you and I. And for him to complete that work, you and I must cooperate with him. I wish I had a bigger amen. Amen. Not talking about legalism. Not talking about being sanctimonious. Talking about sanctification. Do not be conformed to the former lusts which were yours in ignorance, but like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also in all of your behavior, because as it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. Write these scriptures down. We don't have time to go there. Romans 6, 17 through 23. Romans 6, 17 through 23. Part of it just says, "For just as you presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, resulting in further lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness, resulting in sanctification." He goes on to say, "But now, having been freed from sin and enslaved to God, you derive your benefit resulting in sanctification." Talking about this other side of sanctification. 2 Timothy chapter 2. We are rounding third, headed home. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. We're talking about the other side. The other side. What about this other side of sanctification? 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. "Nevertheless, the firm foundation of God stands, having this seal: the Lord knows those who are his, and everyone who names the name of the Lord is to abstain from wickedness. Now, in a large house, there are not only gold and silver vessels, but also vessels of wood and earthenware, some to honor, some to dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from these things, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified, useful to the master, prepared for every good work. Now flee from youthful lust, pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart." Man, we could go on and on, but let's, I said we're around the third, headed home. Go with me finally to Philippians, Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, talking about that other side of sanctification. Philippians chapter 1, first of all, verse 6, stop right there. "Being confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you shall perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus." That's the Holy Spirit perfecting that other side of sanctification in you and I. And the question is, are we cooperating with him? Because oftentimes the Holy Ghost, he will signal you and I and say, "Hey, let me tell you all your neighbor's business so you can go and get in your neighbor's business and get your neighbor in line." Now, y'all should be saying no to that. Somebody said, "That sounds good. That sounds like the Holy Ghost to me." That ain't no Holy Ghost. That's your flesh. He ain't telling you to do that with your neighbor. He's telling you and I do something about us. You ain't got time to be worried about your neighbor. I'm too busy with Bill. I ain't got time to be worried about my neighbor. I said, I wish I had a bigger amen than that. Some people think that the job of the Holy Spirit is up for application. I said, "Yes, Lord, I'd like to apply for that job of the Holy Spirit." That job is not up for application. Finally, let's go to our final scripture for tonight. In Philippians chapter 3, you're in Philippians 1, look at Philippians 3. Paul wrote down at verse 9, "That I may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith, that I may know him, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, in order that I may attain the resurrection of the dead." Verse 12. We're in Philippians 3:12. Not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on, so that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Paul was talking about this second side of sanctification, saying, "Look, I haven't arrived yet. I'm not where I want to be yet, but thank God I'm not where I used to be." We should be able to look in our lives and say, "Hey, I may not be where I want to be in Christ yet, but I know I'm on the way. God's moving me. Stuff that I would have fallen prey to last year, hey, I'm over here now. Stuff that would have got me last month, hey, I'm over here now. I'm growing and progressing from glory to glory as I allow the Holy Ghost to work in my life, that which completes and sanctifies me on this other side. Hey, God's doing a good work in you." I said, he's perfecting something in you. The question is, will you cooperate with him? Because sometimes he'll tell you, "Now that right there, what you're watching, now turn that off. That's not going to help you." Just lost half the crowd. He'll tell you sometimes, hey, now you had enough now. Put that fork down. That what you had to put that fork down. He's working something in you. You say, well, God's just trying to make me unhappy. No, he's perfecting something in you. And you must show enough cooperate with him. And when he tells you, hey, you got too angry there. That shouldn't have bothered you. You got too angry. Get over here. You're too angry. So, somebody cut you off in traffic. You say, oh, no, you ain't. No, come back over here. I'm doing something in you. Get back over here. You're short-tempered, but the Holy Ghost is at work in you. He's trying to do something. He's doing a sanctifying work. And you might as well get over it, because he's going to go on doing that until you see Jesus face to face. He's not going to give up on you and I. He's not going to quit. His work is going on until we see the Lord face to face. We might as well cooperate so we can grow in grace. I said, I wish I had a bigger amen. Stand up on your feet. I know we're out of time. The work of the Lord, listen, let me tell you, he has sanctified you and I. Oh, but he's at work in you and I, completing that process of sanctification, that which pertains to our mind, that which pertains to our body. He's at work to complete that process. And Paul said, listen, he said, look, I may not have been perfect. I may not have gotten it all right. One thing I'm going to do, I'm going to forget about what lies behind me. And I'm going to press forward with the Holy Ghost to what lies ahead of me. You may have had failures and shortcomings and mistakes, but that's all behind you now. Because the first part of sanctification has washed all that in the blood. So when God looks at you, he don't see any of that. He sees you washed, cleansed in the blood of Jesus. And he said, look, forget about that. Okay, you made mistakes, you failed. Don't dwell on that. Why? Because there's another work going on in you. He's completed that other side. He's washed that under the blood. Hey, he's working over here now. He's trying to get your attention to go forward with him. And as we do, we'll be able to accomplish that which he has ordained us to do. And sometimes we hinder his work in our life because we don't cooperate with this second area of sanctification. And even though the first area, even though, thank God for the first area, thank God. Father, we've endeavored to share what you laid on our heart tonight. And so we pray you'll just speak to your people. We pray, Father, some have made mistakes, feel condemnation. Oh, but your word says there is therefore now no condemnation to those of us who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And so we pray they'll sense your love, your compassion. After all, it's your kindness that leads us to repentance. And Father, some have failed to cooperate in this second area of sanctification, resisting the Holy Spirit, sometimes grieving the Holy Spirit. Oh, but Father, we pray that you'll get their attention so that repentance can come and that work of the Holy Ghost can continue in their lives. And so help your people to not look behind at mistakes, at failures, at shortcomings, but to look ahead to your ongoing work, to the leading of the Holy Ghost, to that work that you're perfecting in us, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in us shall perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. Thank you for never giving up on us. Thank you for the grace of God and for enabling us to repent when we're wrong. Thank you for the blood of Jesus that paid the price for our sins. Thank you, Father, for always making a way. We yield ourselves to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Some of you need to come down to the altar and just, in your own private way, get things right with the Lord. Nobody know, nobody need to know. It's between you and the Lord. And but if the Holy Spirit's tugging at your heart, just come on forward. And you don't even have to come up to the prayer workers or whatever. If you want to, that's fine. But you can go right to the altar. There's something you need to get right with God so you can cooperate with Him. And He can complete that work of grace or continue it in your life. Others, you want prayer and agreement. Come on up here and let one of these anointed people pray with you. And you won't leave here like you came. You need to be saved or born again. Come on up here. Talk to one of these. The men come over here to the men. The women come to the women. Come on up here and talk to one of these folks. You want to be born again? Want to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Something like that. Need somebody to pray with you? Come on up and talk to them. If not, come on forward. Get things right with the Lord and let Him complete that, continue that work in your life. And then we know you'll be blessed. Remember, keep the Hagans in prayer. All those who are with them down in Raleigh, North Carolina this week. And then so many are on the way back from Oklahoma City. Keep them in prayer as well. And then we'll see you right here on Wednesday for Hour of Power. Did I forget anything? Did we have any first-time guests? Okay, then you are dismissed. God bless you. We'll see you next time.